of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. We're live from Hollywood. It's Super Gay Radio with your host, Garrett Miller, starring Paul and Matt.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
And as if there were any doubt.
The only thing that I would say to tweak just a little bit is the applause at the end should be longer.
Well, if the applause at the end were longer, Paul, because of how it would really play out in real life, it would be like, 59 minutes of applause, and then we would say, thank you, we'll see you next week.
So I know. It amazes me. It's like I was just saying to you, the people that tune in to my stupid live shit, the Periscope's another live Facebook shit that I do, it's like, get a life. What the fuck are you watching me for?
Well, you should be glad they're watching you. Absolutely.
I am.
But, let's talk about that for a minute. Cause, by the way, today we've got a super gay, super spectacular show. It's 90 minutes. We've got Frank calling in for his RuPaul review in just a tiny little bit. And then Mrs. Kasha Davis joins us about the half hour mark, I think. So we're going to have just a fun show today. And I can't wait for our guests to be here. But Paul and I were talking right before the show started about the video chats that he does on Facebook now. And some of them are really, really good. And some of the people who are doing it are really, really bad. And I was making the analogy before the show started. It's like, now that people have the freedom to do these, Periscope type of videos on Facebook or just even Periscope, I think Periscope is going down the tube now that Facebook has got this thing turned on. We quickly realize that, boy, there are some of these which are really fun, and then there are a lot of these that really should not be done, but they're being done anyway. It's kind of like going to a nude beach.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Most of the people, and I'll say it's nobody on my friends list. Well, actually, no, there's a couple on my friends list. I just won't tell them because I don't want them to feel bad and they might be listening. I try to do it when I have something to say. When I run out of shit to say, I sign off.
Right.
There's no reason to keep these things going for an hour when you're not saying or doing anything.
And I think we have been, this thing called Skype happened a few years ago. And mm-hmm. So there are people who think that Skype is great to, go eat your dinner in front of your iPad or your computer, and you can eat dinner with your friends who are overseas or whatever the case is. And, you think that that's really entertaining, watching somebody go and turn the channel on the television set, old school, and doing that type of thing. That is great for you and that one person that you want to share that experience with, because that is, as silly as it sounds, that's kind of your bonding time. And I get that and respect that. What I think people fail to remember, however, is that that does not translate into the same viewer experience when you want to do a Periscope or a Facebook live video stream. We do not want to see that. It needs to be something that's engaging and entertaining. And those types of experiences really should be 2 or 3 minutes or less, probably less, because that's really the attention span that you're playing towards, not these 30 minutes, let's sit here and read a book in front of the computer together.
Exactly. And the thing is you can now look at your settings, people, because you can pick and choose who sees your video mm-hmm. broadcast. So if you want to just broadcast to me privately, you put me in a separate category and you video just to me. You don't have to do it to the world. I prefer the Facebook over Periscope because Periscope is public, period. That's it. It's either private one-to-one or public. Where Facebook I can choose and only show friends or only show my limited list or show public. Because I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, I have a good time doing it.
It's totally fun, but it's totally fun for you and your intended audience. But, I will see some of these that, again, I don't think they understand the settings concept or they, because we may be boring as all get out, Paul. Highly statistically improbable. However, we might be boring to some people that don't have
to
taste.
Some.
However, you know, I think that we've got a good thing. We have fun guests. We have great banter between ourselves, and I think we're hysterical. However, you know, given that, you know, there are some people who aren't going to enjoy this, and that's okay. We don't want you to, you know, it's, you know, like that one show that we love that's free this weekend, Derek and Romaine 2.0, DerekandRomaine.com. Go listen to them free for 3 days. You know, one of their little bumpers is, we're not for everyone, but we are for you. So, you know, you got to know your market. And if you're going out there and putting these dumb videos on that are really snooze fest, I'm telling you, folks, this is going to be the equivalent, Paul, to all of the political memes showing one person off at a fundraiser while the other person is doing a charity event. And then, you know, or vice versa, where they're done with that, you know, that fundraising event. Now they're going to do the charity work and the other person's at the fundraising, you know, so you have the morons out there who are trying to paint these, you know, horribly disfigured versions of the political system that, oh, this person only fundraises or this person only helps the, you know, whoever.
Right.
I just get headaches. So I think that's what's going to be the reality of these new, you know, little, hi, look at me, I can do a video now. And heaven forbid that turns into us.
But it depends on who you pay attention to, because before this, Chris Agendo, our buddy,
I love Chris.
The Armor Foods, the slaughterhouse, is being imploded today. And so he's there and he's streaming it live on Facebook and talking about the plant, what it used to do and when it closed and when it was built. Da, da, da. So,
that is
and I can't wait to get back to it after the show, because I have to see the rest of it. And he's going to start doing it more, which, you know, he's an interesting guy. I'm going to have him on in a few weeks. Because he's always got stories and stuff like that, but
he's a good storyteller.
Oh God. Yeah. And I love watching interesting people, even interesting people doing mundane things is interesting.
I think that's the key. You have to make it interesting. You can be painting a house or, you know, scrubbing a sink. And if you make that interesting, it's awesome. But if you don't, it's like, oh my God, just give me an ice pick and let me poke out my eyes.
Yep. Oh, I cleaned all fucking week long. Oh my God, I scrubbed this place. It's horrible. I'm a terrible housekeeper. I'm an atrocious housekeeper. But now that the kitchen is done,
Let's talk about that, because you've posted a couple of pictures of your new kitchen ceiling with these impressive, I'm going to call them ceiling tiles, but tell us about that.
We've got a really big, long kitchen. It's just about 30 feet long and about 10 and a half, 11 feet wide. So it's like this long corridor, and it has a cathedral ceiling. The highest point of the ceiling is like 14 feet, and comes down to a 8 foot drop at the other end of it. So it's just this big, massive space, and I wanted to bring it in more. So I found a blue paint that I liked at a restaurant that we go to in Maine, Wild Blueberry in Gunquit, Maine. Wonderful food and wonderful color for paint. Did the walls in that, and I wanted a copper ceiling, faux copper. We got the faux copper tiles off of Amazon, and Jim hung those. And then I wanted the trim to match the Craftsman style trim that we put in the bedroom, because I'm switching the whole house over to Craftsman style.
Cool.
Trim and things like that. But it was a huge project. And we finally got that done. But what happened was he turned my dining room into his workshop with the saws and all that stuff. So between the wood stove and the wood chips and the wood shavings and everything else, I mean, the place just was more of a dump than it usually is. And we had guests coming last night, so we had to clean, and he helped me a lot. But honestly, I did more cleaning in the last week than I've done in 6 months. So the house looks pretty nice now. I'd have somebody over. Kasia Davis does videos all the time and posts them up on YouTube and on her Facebook page, and she is a born housewife. I mean, everything is always spotless and in its place, and and people, especially people that the clients of mine when I was doing hair, always assumed that I would be that way. Absolutely wrong. Our last housekeeper described us best by saying that we were two gay men that lived like frat boys.
That's a great description.
It was. Although, I mean, nothing is ever dirty. You know what I'm saying? It's messy.
Right, right, right.
And cluttered and dusty, but as far, you know, I've never had a dirty bathroom or a dirty kitchen where it's like dirty, smelly. That would never fly. But I don't mind piles. I don't mind dust. I think dust protects your furniture from UV rays. Mm-hmm. So
it's important.
It is. So, and again, you know, in the wintertime with the wood stove going, there's no fucking way to keep up with dusting,
yeah,
especially in the living room. So, but yeah, no, that's the behind the scenes that you'll never hear about on Facebook, because I'm perfect on Facebook.
Of course you are. You know who else is perfect? Miss Viola.
Oh. Is she here?
Miss Viola might be here, so let me go ahead and press the little button and welcome Frank back to Super Gay Radio. Frank, how are you?
I'm good, boys. How are you?
We're excited you're here, Miss Viola.
Paul, that's what I look for when I go to a fine restaurant, is the color of the paint on the wall. That's the first thing I look for when I go in.
I was.
You eat at restaurants that have paint on the wall?
Well, no.
Oh, God, I don't normally feed out of a dumpster behind a grocery store. You know?
I do.
I don't bob for apple cores anymore. Yeah. I'm classy now.
Okay.
People have to understand, I like muted jewel tones for wall color. I like darker muted tones, and I just happen to see this one. I want Derek Hartley's living room color, but he forgot what color it is. So, but yeah.
Can I ask a question
of
you guys, real quick?
Yep.
Do you like darker wall tones and that type of stuff because you live in the Northeast? Because I think that's like a Northeast type of a thing to have happen.
I like a lighter wall tone because I live in the Northeast, because we spend so much time in the dark.
Right.
The thing is, we've got skylights, we've got a lot of windows, our house is very bright, and the rooms are very large. So with darker walls, it brings it in more, and it makes me more cozy. Big rooms, I like dark color.
Yeah, you're a cozy person. I'm a cozy person, too. My living room is a light gray right now, but in the summertime, it's going to seem huge because we have a giant picture window that it's just, the light is just going to pour right through, and it's already started. So we've actually gotten some room darkening curtains, and we have a few panels of sheer and a few panels of the room darkening to kind of mute the light a little bit. And it still keeps that cozy vibe, but it's not as garish as all that sunlight would be, because you can't even see the television with all that sunlight.
Well, it's going to seem bigger just because you're losing so much weight.
Oh, well, you know, that's true. It's true. I can go to the Lane Bryant now, and I can buy a size 26, so that's pretty impressive.
Hey, that ain't bad.
And I mentioned Lane Bryant because I know that's where Mrs. Kasia Davis likes to shop occasionally as well. So.
Ah, see that? Okay, let's get into RuPaul. Speaking of Kasia
Let
Davis,
me just say this about RuPaul. That was the worst snatch game I've ever seen in my entire life. Go.
Thank you. It was
horrible.
Although it was better than that new fucking game show.
I don't even want to even try to watch that. I've given up on that. I just, I was, even Bob, you know, and I'm a big Bob the Drag Queen fan. I just was, you know, look, I'm I'm an attention whore, and you know, Paul, you and I think both share that trait. But Bob is just like, holy showboat, like, just bring it down a little bit, Bob, just a little tiny bit, because he's so funny, but so much of that in all the time in your face can be like, okay, I can't take it anymore.
I think that's how it was edited, number one.
Yeah, and that's my feeling, too. I hope that's my feeling.
But it just doesn't seem, again, they're going the way of everything else as far as, I don't think they're working at the show. You know, the creativity isn't there. The best they did this week was offend everybody by having all the Little Women show up.
I hate to do this, but we have like breaking news. Can I bring a special VIP guest caller on the line for just a real quick second?
Sure.
I want to take this time to welcome Erica Irvin to Super Gay Radio. You'll remember Erica on American Horror Story, and she is a model, a spokesperson, a super duper human being, and she is now live on the show with us for just a couple of moments because she's going to karate at 9 o'clock.
Wonderful. Welcome, Erica.
Welcome, guys. I always say the two things you need to study in life, law and kung fu. How are you? Good morning.
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful.
Thanks for calling in. I told Erica we're going to get her on her own segment pretty soon, but said call in and say hello to everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hello. So you guys are talking about RuPaul today.
Yes.
We are.
We're trying to.
Are you watching, Erica?
I am not watching. I'm only seeing your Facebook, you know, the little messenger block that comes up, and we're sitting there chatting because I was noticing you took great shots of my good friend Michael Vaccaro.
Oh, he's so wonderful.
You were taking great pictures of him. I was like, oh, I gotta get in touch with you. What are you up to? You're always popping up on my feed doing really fun things. I have to come over and say hello. Okay, right now is that crazy Taxman. So make sure you tell all your fans and listeners that tax time got moved to Monday. You don't have to get it in until Monday.
Crazy. Let me tell you.
Yes. I'm just surrounded by paper and receipts, and I'm just trying to put them all in a nice little list so I can go down and do the final calculations for it. That evil thing called a profit and loss statement.
Ah! Oh. Ah! Okay. We're all running screaming right now, Erica.
Swear words, huh? Erica.
We're all running screaming at this point. There we go.
You're not supposed to do a swear word. Did I say a swear word somewhere?
No,
you can
profit and loss statement
is
a swear word.
The uncensored show.
Oh, God. That is a swear word, especially around tax time. Like,
There we go. Well, Erica, I won't keep you. I'm going to let you go, but thanks for calling in. We'll get you set up on the show as a guest in the next few weeks, and then we'll get together and do some pictures, too. It'll be super fun.
Oh, absolutely.
I just thought, thank you, Garrett. You guys have fun this morning, okay?
Right on.
You
thanks,
too.
Erica. Take care.
Love you, Erica.
Bye.
How awesome is that? Erica Irvin from American Horror Story just called into the show. So there we go. So back to RuPaul's review.
Her.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
No,
you're cute.
Hey. She's welcome anytime. I adored her Freak Show. She was fantastic.
So, okay, first week, Acid Betty kissed it finally goodbye. She deserved it. I don't care. And it's not
she's not going to have
a career. Yep.
No, she had a career before. She'll have a career after. She was perfectly fine. And you know, her snatch game was – it actually surprised me at how – weak it was. I don't want to say it was bad because that's negative, but it was just very weak. I mean, and you could tell she was trying to do what she thought was right, but, you know, Carson Kressley said it right. I mean, with the tips that he gave her, he was dead on, you know. It was,
right.
How do you mess that up? I mean, she's just, Nancy Grace is such a stereotype, I think, you know.
Well, and the thing is she's so much better than that.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, and that's where I think she kind of lost it. I did like, I think it was the goodbye thing that she did with Michelle.
Yeah.
She talked about you know, really just being too bitchy for no reason, and she actually apologized for making fun of Trixie's makeup during Unscreened. Because it's like, you can't be this twisted queen with fucked up makeup and make fun of somebody else's makeup.
Yeah, you know, she reminds me a lot of girls that I've worked with in the past of a certain age, and I'm of that certain age now, where the younger ones tend to be a little bit more fearless than we are, even though we are and don't realize it, and Betty's definitely fearless. And I think sometimes it's hard for us, especially when you see someone come along and do what you do and do it as well as you do it, it's hard
right.
to swallow that. And it yep. makes you feel like, okay, well, I'm older now, and this young thing can do what I do. I'm not going to be relevant anymore. So I completely, 110% understand where Betty's anger and frustration comes from. I mean, completely. I didn't like it still, but I understand it. And I think she's so much better than what the show made it look as she was. You know, I know she is. I've seen her before. She's fantastic. I don't know. It's a shame she went home so early, but, I mean, it was deserved that week. It really was. That was a clear-cut need to go.
Yeah, and I think Robbie was, too, this week. I think that was a clear-cut.
Robbie, you know, I don't wear lace front wigs, but my God, I've never seen a wig line so harsh in my entire life. I mean, maybe once on Delta Burke, but that's about it. I mean, and that's saying something.
Yep. Yep. No, and he's a sweetheart. Absolutely.
He's very talented.
Very
talented.
Talented.
He's fun.
Yep.
I warmed up to him. I didn't think that I would like him, but I really rather did. And I follow him on Instagram now, and he just seems to be having a hoot. But I don't know. It just... Yeah, I feel like we're starting to fizzle out already, and there's still six contestants left, you know?
It's getting down to the wire. I mean, I didn't realize. I mean, the finale's May 10th. We're already halfway through April.
Yeah, we're really cooking now.
So, I mean, it's getting down there, and I'm just surprised that some of them aren't stepping up more. I think Chi-Chi's going to be the next one.
Just say the name Derek Barry. Just say the name Derek Barry, because that's what
you mean. I can't. He is just killing me.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the appeal. I don't get I don't get any of it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm old, Paul. Maybe that's what it is. I'm old and bitter. But
I will give him. He is a tremendous Britney. He is.
Oh my God! Hands down.
Pinnacle
phenomenal.
Of.
Yeah.
Britney. But enough with the Britney.
Here's
know?
My whole thing. Here's my deal. When you impersonate someone of a certain age who is going to look the same for probably the next 20 years of her life because she can afford to,
mm-hmm.
unless you can afford to look just like her, you got to figure something else out to do. Because you're going to be playing Britney when you're 55 years old? I mean, come on.
Well, that's the thing. He said that he wanted to branch out more, and that's why he, you know, went on the show. And but everything looks like Britney. And the weird thing is, he looks nothing like Britney Spears out of makeup.
No, he really doesn't. I mean, maybe in the eyes, but that's it. But then the one time he has an opportunity to really let himself go was this challenge this week with the Wizard of Oz thing. He ends up with two cloth dildos on his shoulders, and I just don't understand what the hell that was.
But he's
and a sarong.
Sold them.
He's wearing a sarong. I could buy at Dollar General.
Yep. But he sewed those dildos, and it's like, so what? I mean,
you sold fabric around a spring. Do you want an award for that?
He obviously does. He obviously does. You know, and I mean, Kim Chi just I'm living for Bob the Drag Queen, Kim Chi. And Thorgy Thor.
My top four would be Bob the Drag Queen, Thorgy Thor, Kim Chi, and Naomi Smalls, who I don't normally find myself drawn to the pretty end of drag, but
mm-hmm.
there's something about Naomi Smalls that I cannot look away from. I'm so drawn to her, and I don't know why. I just think she's sweet. And I think she wants it. And I think that she has a level of respect for what RuPaul and everybody that came along with RuPaul have done.
Right.
And I think that's so very rare to find. Because I talk to kids now who have never seen Paris is Burning, who you know, have no idea about Divine, who don't know who the Cockettes are. They don't know anything. And it breaks my heart. Breaks my heart.
It's an investment. You know, and
it really is.
I feel that the queens, young, old, whatever, that really get into it because it's their passion. They mm-hmm. learned everything there is to learn about it. They watched the original La Cage aux Folles and not Birdcage.
They watched the French version.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And see where it came from and where it's heading. And because they're just there, it's such a rich culture.
Incredibly rich.
I have to say, I really think that Naomi, this coming Monday, the lip sync battle is going to be between Naomi and Chi-Chi. Is my prediction.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it might be between Chi-Chi and Thorgy. I feel like they're building Thorgy up to go home with all of her "I don't like Bob's attitude" nonsense, which is just, you know, again, yes, she said it, but a lot of that is editing that contributes to that. And,
Yeah, I don't know. I think Thorgy's going to make it to at least the top four, if not the top three.
I hope you're right. I really do hope you're right, because I think Thorgy is incredible and has really got something to offer. I have a funny Thorgy story. So I had tickets to see Mrs. Kasha Davis and Aggie Doon at Big Wigs at the Laurie Beachman 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't go because I was very sick. You know, I came down with something and it kicked my butt. So I sent my good friend Bianca, Ronnie, and his husband Matt to go. I put the tickets in their name and they went. And Thorgy was in the audience. And Ronnie said as soon as Kasha said Thorgy's name on stage, that show ended and people mobbed Thorgy. And she had to, like, run out like a celebrity out the back door. It was hilarious. People are so drawn to her because there's that sweetness and that sensitivity and that kindness that I think people really look for.
There's that, but also for me, Thorgy has so many looks.
Yes.
I mean, she goes from, I love the whole, I didn't even recognize her in the fat costume for the...
Wasn't that genius for the premiere?
It was. It really was. But I mean, she just goes from one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, and just nails every single one of those outfits.
She's absolutely phenomenal.
It's just, you know, she's one of the few that just aren't a one trick pony. And has no problem being the brunt of her own joke.
And you have to appreciate somebody that can laugh at themselves and has that kind of humility.
I don't understand queens that can't. Because to me, you know what? You're all men in dresses.
You know, the funny thing is, you say that. The second time I worked with Lady Bunny, we had gotten to know each other quite well at that point. And she said, when I was introducing her, she said, "I want you to go out there and introduce me now, and I want you to make a joke about being late because I'm old." And I said, okay. She goes, "Blame it all on me. Tell him that I lost my teeth under the car seat or something. He had to help me find them." So I went out and I just went off on her about being old, because that's what I do. And the audience looked at me with mouths agape, like, "How can you say that about Bunny?" And she came out and she goes, "I'd like to thank Frank for that wonderful introduction, you fat fucker." And I have never, and the audience, it was like a second, they looked at her, mouths open, and then looked at me to see if it was okay to laugh. I'm dying.
Yep.
And then they started to laugh. And it's just so funny. That's how people are. Of course, I mean, you have to be able, "I'm overweight. Make a joke. I don't care. I probably made it myself." You know what I mean? It's perfectly fine. I don't care. You have to be able to laugh at yourself like she can.
Well, and that's, I mean, that was the thing that Frank used to say all the time. It's not like you're informing me I'm fat and I don't know it.
Well, Exactly. I look down. I don't see my feet. I'm aware. You know, yeah. I put two and two together.
You know, either own it or be ashamed of it and run away from it, but then do something about it.
That's exactly right.
But it's just no, and that yeah, because I don't know. I think my whole thing is I really appreciate genuine. You know, when people bring their genuine personality, and even if it's just the character's genuine personality, that's still part of you.
Exactly.
So,
well, that's what I like about, this is a nice segue to your next segment. That's what, one of the things that drew me to Kasha. I had done a show, I did my show last weekend, and the man that used to own the gay nightclub in Elmira that was there for, my God, years and years and years and years, a good friend of mine said, you know, I was really impressed with that show. He said, I feel like you and Kasha really, you know, clicked together when you worked together. And Kasha and I had actually said that to each other, and I think that's what it is. We're the same on and off stage.
Right.
We're the same. We're more and more amplified versions of ourselves, but we're both very genuine, very sincere people. And you know, Kasha and Aggie and Darian all, you know, after that show, they all said, hey, let's all go to Denny's together. We all went to Denny's together, and we sat there, and they just all listened to everybody else talk and tell all their stories. And I brought this young gay kid with me that I had met that night and was a friend of a friend, and I said, you want to go with this kid? And he goes, oh my God, I'd be so thrilled. And he just sat there and talked Darian's ear off for 2 hours about her experiences on the show, and Darian loved it. And you know, it was just, they're just such real and genuine people, and I think that's why I was so drawn to them, and our crowds were so drawn to them.
Well, and it works. I mean, I saw the duet. Joe took the video of
yeah,
the duet of you and Kasha, and I mean, you guys did a fantastic job.
Now here's the secret. I'll tell the secret.
Okay.
That was not planned at all. We had planned to do a different number, and it didn't work out. So that, I think it was that day, and Kasha can correct me when I'm wrong when she comes on, but I think it was that day that she sent me a text message and said, what do you think about Bosom Buddies? And I said, I know it. And she goes, well, what part do you want? I said, I usually play B. We'll go out. She said, oh, I usually play B. And I said, well, of course you can play B. I'm not going to be like that. And we got on stage together, and it just, we started moving the same. And I don't know. It's just, you get that, you click with somebody who's a real entertainer and a real performer, and you kind of just get to roll with it. And that's why I enjoy that so much.
Oh, it was fantastic. Because you were comfortable. You were fun.
Oh, very.
You were funny. You were comfortable, and that's what the audience wants. Because, and I always say it: if you're having a good time, the audience is having a good time.
Exactly.
If it's work for you, it's going to be work for the audience to try and like you.
It's like labor. It's terrible.
Exactly, exactly. You know, go in and, like, we're seeing all of them, I believe, Darian, Aggie, and Kasha tomorrow at the drag brunch here in Rochester.
You're going to Edibles.
Yeah.
You and Jim need to try to make plans to come down June 3rd and 4th because they're going to be they're doing two shows at the Starlight Room in Elmira again, We Three Queens.
I know, and we're away. It's Jim's birthday.
Oh, are you? Oh,
yeah.
Man, I love Jim. He's just such a doll.
Oh, I'm glad somebody does. No, I love him.
I know you didn't, so I had to step up.
No, I did too. So, but I have looked into, I mean, we will be coming down to Elmira at some point.
Good.
For us, it seems like a long drive.
Well, you're driving into the middle of nowhere. Of course it's a long drive.
Yeah, you know. I think it's the fact that
you're not sure you'll ever make it back to Rochester alive. I think that's what bothers you about it.
It's so close to Pennsylvania.
I'm in Pennsylvania now. I work here. I'm sitting in my car in the parking lot, and it's terrible. There's people looking through the woods at me, and they're all cousins, and they're dating each other. It's horrible.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Pennsylvania is really becoming West Tennessee. and it is. It's scaring me a little bit. I love Pittsburgh.
We love Pennsylvania. That's a disclaimer. We love Pennsylvania. It's a wonderful state, Commonwealth, whatever it is.
Okay.
Big rectangle, like, whatever.
Pittsburgh is wonderful.
I love Pittsburgh. My father's from Pittsburgh.
We've got to do Pittsburgh Pride together.
I would love that. That would be fantastic.
We'd be able to do Pittsburgh Pride together. Absolutely. All right, sweetie. I see Mrs. Kasha Davis is on the line. So I'm going to let you go. I'm bumping you for the bigger star. But that's
that
okay.
You can bump me for Kasha anytime. Tell her I love her, and I'll see her soon.
Will we have you back next week?
Of course.
All right, wonderful. We'll talk to you then, sweetie. Love you.
Yes, thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Frank. And on the line with us now is Mrs. Kasha Davis. Welcome to the show.
Oh,
hello,
God.
Darling.
Oh, hello, Kasha. How are you?
Oh, I'm just a delight. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Now, what are you scrubbing? Are you scrubbing something? Are you vacuuming? Or what?
I just met the gals on the cul-de-sac, and we went down the street for our, you know, weekly workout class. And so at this point now, I'm exhausted. I think it's time for a nap.
Oh, that's right. You exercise, and you run and shit.
Oh, well, I try, but, you know, it's just I also like food too much. You know, it's a – you go from one thing to another these days. I don't know. As you get a little middle-aged –
Although I will say I saw you at Rochester Pride. It was either last year or the year before, and you were running in those friggin' platform heels to catch back up after stopping and taking pictures with people. And I was like, oh my God, look at that queen run.
Well, first of all, I love to do the parade, and it's so much fun when, like, you know, for me to run up and, like, say hello to people and stuff like that. I also did one like that in Houston where it was, like, a bazillion degrees. And they're like, you're going to get out of the car? I'm like, who the hell wants to see a drag queen driving around just sitting waving in a car? Big deal. So, you know, you run around and stuff, and people just are like, oh, my God, she could run in heels. It's good for your legs.
And you walk at the – I mean, you're out there with the people, and it's just – it's so different from many of the newer queens – that want the convertible to wave from. I'm not being nasty about it. I'm just saying, you know, that's what it is. They like that whole princess thing, but you just get down and dirty with the people, and I think it's just wonderful. You're one of my favorite queens ever on RuPaul's Drag Race.
And you are so sweet. Thank you so much. Good for the ego.
it's true. You are just number one. For me, I mean, I'm old. I'm older than your husband. But the thing is, for me, drag has always been fun, and always remember you're a man in a dress and have a...
You know, I love that because, you know, especially nowadays with, you know, so much going on with, you know, gender identification, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is that I am a man in a dress. It's supposed to be fun. Yes, there's impersonation there, and I'm certainly bringing out the characteristics that I've learned from my mom and my aunts and stuff like that. But, you know, it's supposed to be a good time. And I have to chuckle, you know, that you say that. Yes, some of the queens take themselves so seriously. But isn't it funny how many queens get on social media and they're changing the world, you know, with politics and, you know, dying dogs and garbage out in the Pacific Ocean. Like, they're here to save the world. I'm like, how about you just do a good lip sync? You know what I mean? Like, or sing me a funny song. Like, you know, to each his own, it is art, but let's not cross the line of suddenly, like, you know, being so, you know, political and stuff. I just don't get it. It's supposed to be lighthearted and fun.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you make a name, Bunny, I follow her politics because I agree with them, and she's been around forever and a day. Anyway, she's already earned her place, but I completely agree as far as, you know, to do something good first. Amazing thing about Mrs. Kasha Davis is you lip sync flawlessly. You always land a joke. You can move like nobody else in heels, whether you're running or dancing. And your hosting abilities are absolutely top notch. I mean, it's just no wonder. If you could give a piece of advice for queens out there and new queens going on to RuPaul's Drag Race, hopefully Aggie Dune season 9.
Correct.
how did you utilize your experience on Drag Race to come home and actually build the MK empire that you have now?
Well, first of all, the check is in the mail for all your compliments. You're so sweet. It is something that I remember when I first started. It's like you got to pay your dues, and you get out there, and, you know, as Aggie has taught me, you get out there, and every show you give it your best, you know, no matter what it is. And I got sent home on season 7 for hosting, which is ironic. You know, I think sometimes you get sent home for the thing you do the most. So I was like, okay, great, that's embarrassing. But, you want to be well-rounded. You want to be able to do all the different things that are needed for a show, whether it's hosting a show at a club or, I'm going to be working somebody's, wedding shower, for God's sakes. Just being a personality, and it's important to me. As I think back when I was a kid, I didn't have people to look up to, being that little gay boy or girl or whatever the hell I was. And I didn't have anybody to look up to. So I thought, why not be somebody that, people coming up can look up to, but also can be approached. You can message me. We can, chat online and all that jazz and talk to each other in person. I think those are just really important things that you can do to make that little bit of a difference. But, the advice I give is just, pay your dues, work hard, and be yourself. It is an art form that fortunate enough to just get quickly. And then other people, are working very diligently, like Aggie Dune, for many years to make that name. And so, the television show gives everybody across the board an opportunity to get out there and do it. Well, then respect that, because there are others that are doing it in a different way that maybe don't get that moment yet.
Right. Right. Where do you get your tenacity from? How many times did you try out for RuPaul before you finally got on?
Well, all 7 seasons, but Darian Lake made a funny joke the other day. We were shopping at TJ Maxx and more together, like, the housewives that we are.
Your favorite store.
Yes. And Darian was like, oh, my God, you should say that, you auditioned 10 times and you were on for 10 minutes. I was like, ha, bitch. Don't play the editing. She's a shady one. But it's true. I think tenacity, when you know it's something that's a passion, and for me it was always the passion to perform, and I never realized that drag would be that avenue, but it clicked. And I just feel like no matter what happens in your life, no matter what it is, that's living, right?
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
Whatever obstacle. I mean, what's the point in giving up? If you give up, then are you living? I don't know.
Because I've said that before to people. It's like, if you give up now, then all the times that you tried before are just wasted. You're throwing that away too.
Right.
See everything through to the end. If you can't see it through to the end, then don't start it. That's how you do it. Your acting, I've seen you act as a boy too, and you're just as wonderful and just as engaging and just as cute.
Again, I'm going to be broke. I'm going to have to send you my credit card number for all these couples.
Well, the thing is, I don't have that much money to tip you tomorrow, so I figured I'd just do it with words today.
There you go.
I've been so excited to have you on because I've got so many questions. So if you'll indulge me for one more.
Of course.
How do you keep the spark in your marriage with your travel schedule?
Well, first of all, Stephen is, he's the love of my life. I remember as a little child, I dreamt of, I think I don't know if it's psycho or psychic, but I sort of like dreamt of this Stephen. And I thought, I can't be with a Stephen. And so years went by, I married a woman, she was size 12. I'm more of a 16-20 and, it didn't work out. So, years later, we're together and it's been a dream come true. But what's great for a marriage and any kind of longevity is sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder. you know, we get to really have the opportunity to, you know, I'll be away traveling and I can't wait to see him again. And hopefully vice versa, you know, no, we get excited to, for those little moments where it's like, oh my gosh, we get to have, you know, Sunday night together or, and have the kids over for Sunday fun day. And it becomes more special because of that travel time. And he knows it's my dream and participates. Like, you know, we are a team. We are, you know, the CEOs of MKD, whatever that is. You know, it's running your own business. I mean, you've got to, you can't do something alone, period. It's a team. So I'd never be able to do any of this without him.
Oh, no. Well, he does. Does he do all of your video editing and taping and?
Yes. I mean, video. I mean, he's sort of like the audio visual, but he's also like, you know, I'm the, how about this idea? That, and he becomes in all aspects of our life, sometimes the grounded more, the reality and kind of drives that business aspect of it. So I may go out and sell an idea, but then I walk away from it and he makes it happen because, you know, that's where we're playing to each other's strengths, you know.
Right.
That's what we really are. We like to consider ourselves like, you know, the modern day Lucy and Ricky. So, although when I'm on stage with Aggie Doo and I'm Ethel, I mean, you got to know your place.
Well, yeah. And if you don't, Aggie will tell you where it is.
Oh, yes, she will.
Which is just an absolute, absolute joy. Now, let's switch to your YouTube channel because you haven't been posting much on it, but there is a plethora of videos of the Davises, of your cooking series. But the one that I find, I have two that are my favorite.
Okay.
First one is Pineapple Princess for Frank DeCaro. That was August 2012 at Edibles.
Right.
And the second one is the Twitter fail. Tell everybody about
Lord.
Your Twitter fail.
Well, the fabulous Pollo de Mar, who I just went to Colorado with for a gig, decided, to, you know, she also has a blog, and she was like, oh, would you, you know, want to be a part of it? Sure. And I don't know. This is what I have Mr. Davis for. You know, I don't understand technology. And he said, send me your phone number. So I tweeted it. I literally, like, it was the height of the show coming out and all that stuff. I think that it's actually to the date right around this time. So I was like, holy crap. And, you know, all of a sudden my phone is blowing up with, like, messages and stuff. So Steve is up in bed and I ran upstairs and I was like, I just tweeted my phone number. He's like, what? So he came down and I said, well, let's take advantage of it. People are going to call me. Let's film it. And he just got the camera out and sat there and it was phone call after phone call of these kids who were like, hello, this is Kasha Davis. So, and it was just a joy. And so, you know, partnered up with World of Wonder to do the videos. And it's exciting because, you know, we do have our What's Your Favorite that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we work on different other ones that, you know, we did a little Lori Beachman, Liza Minnelli lash fail. So we try to keep some content going, but I'm actually in talks with another gentleman to put together something a little bit more in-depth with regard to Life with the Davises, which really would accompany all of it. So, you know, what do I say? Hashtag more to come? I don't know. So the exciting part for me is, you know, really exploring that aspect of our life and you know, sort of picking up the reins where the darling Caitlin has been canceled. Maybe Mr. and Mrs. Davis can take over.
I would watch your reality show in a heartbeat because you because you're always interesting and it's real life. I mean, just the whole, I wish you had kept Mr. Davis filming when you got pulled over on 490 with the bedazzled baseball cap on. But other than that, see, I've been stalking you. I've seen you twice at Wegmans and I haven't wanted to walk up and like bother you in public.
Oh my God,
there it is. I know, but it's just, no, I would melt down. There aren't a lot of people that I really like, oh my God, they've got something.
Well, you know, we both, I'm sure, remember, you know, the Joanne Worleys and the Mrs. Ropers. And,
yes.
You know, I've always thought that it's fun to have, you know, this comes from my theater background. When you audition for a play to get the role that is like, you know, the character who comes through the, you know, the Uncle Arthur or somebody who's memorable, but not necessarily the star, you know, and that's the following that when I was a kid, I remember dreaming, oh my God, I want to be a star, but I don't want to be a big star. I just want to be able, like, I want to be able to go shopping, but I want some people to know who I am. But I don't want to be so big that I can't go out of my house, you know. Of course, as a kid, you're dreaming, like, you're going to be the next, you know, Liza Minnelli or Michael Jackson or something. But at this point, you know.
Well, at this point, it's better that you're not either of them.
Exactly, right? God love them both. But, you know, and then, like you said, like, just, it wouldn't it be fun, though, like having somebody follow in Wegmans and show, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Davis shopping, and then like, damn it, he's got to get to work. We've got to get this video done. I've got to get on the road to L.A. We've got this other thing going on. And I just think it would be interesting for people to see what it's really like these days to try to make it, you know.
Absolutely. Max has to get over his camera shyness. But other than that, I think that.
Max is, I said to Steve the other night, you know, we've had another dog, Homer, who was a very distinguished gay gentleman dog. And he's a little bit more nervous and just shy. Very, very good dog. But Max is this, he's like this bully son that we have. He's a lovable lap dog, but he is like, he will come up in your face and be like, we are going outside now. So I'm like, okay, there's no lounging around with Mac.
He's a big husky.
He is. I mean, we rescued him and kind of helped him, you know, kind of get back to good health, and he's just terrific now. So I said, I didn't realize I could love an animal this much.
Oh,
but
it's
it happened.
It's easy to love animals. People I can't stand, but I love animals. People suck. Okay, I would like to switch gears just a little tiny bit onto your album. I am so excited for this album to drop.
I am too. And, you know, so a lot of people, and myself included, you know, put out some music and people will say, like, really? You know, why is the drag queen singing? And, well, certainly I never claimed to be the best singer. And one of my biggest inspirations was Miss Richfield 1981. When I saw her in Provincetown, I thought, that is what and who I want to be. You know, I love that character. I love what she was doing. And so I thought, I can do that. And so ever since then, Steve and I would talk about, like, what music I would do. And so at first we did Cocktail and Seasoned Queen, and they're more dancey, fun, kitschy stuff. And so then I thought, what the hell? What about some of the music from my cabaret show, There's Always Time for a Cocktail? And it kind of ties in with, you know, selling the show as well as just, you know, giving you a little glimpse of the music I love. I get my friends joke when they'd come over, it's always Singers and Standards with me, you know, the channel you can pick on the television where, you know, it's Judy Garland, Peggy Lee, Frank Sinatra, all that. And I thought, some of this fun stuff, the total of six songs plus Season Queen. And I tell just a little blurb of a story at the beginning of it. And I'm just excited about it. It's very, very different. It's very much a cabaret style sound. We recorded it in New York City with the fabulous Roman of Meritone Studios, and he does a lot of. I know he did Mimi's CD Fire, and works with Pandora and Manila. So he's just fantastic, and so just a whole different vibe with piano and drums, and, you know, with the live musicians, and we were able to record it, and it was just it felt right. It was like, okay, maybe we can make a funny dance song out of one of these, but this is more cabaret and this is really my speed. So I couldn't be more excited about it. And it comes out on Mother's Day, of course.
It's gonna be wonderful. And actually, Garrett, you've got to have it on your Friday night music show.
We're going, Paul. Okay, ruin the surprise, but I guess this is a good time to say we're going to do a world premiere the Friday before Mother's Day on May 6th with Mrs. Kasia Davis for her new album.
God. Oh, wonderful! Yeah.
It's going to be a barn burner.
I can't wait to hear it. I can't because I'm a huge Kasia fan, if you hadn't noticed. Then you have DragCon coming up that same weekend, though. So you get the album dropping while you're at DragCon?
Yes. And we'll be out at DragCon. That's the 7th and 8th. So it's Mother's Day. It's a Saturday and Sunday. And that's thousands of people. It's three times bigger this year than it was last year. And yeah, and there's all sorts of surprises being planned, and you know, in conjunction with DragCon, and then the following week, that Tuesday, I want to say, is the reunion, the finale. So I've got to get a red carpet ready outfit to go out there for that. So many of the gals will be already out there, and so we'll be filming for season 8 reunion / finale.
Oh, no, more shopping? Oh, poor you.
I know. I was like,
shopping with it. And you're doing a panel, right? You're doing successful bottoms or something like that?
Yes. Well, and, you know, I said to Mr. Davis, I said, how funny. It's like, the best losers or whatever it is, you know. It's myself and Fifi. So, you know, it's basically making the most, losing is the new winning, you know, where it's going back to, as you said, the tenacity and not just giving up, you know, just continuing to take advantage of the platform we've been given and making it work. So
I think somebody said, you know, there's 100 queens out there now off of Drag Race. And the market's saturated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, you know, quite honestly, I really believe the ones who work will find work. It's the ones that are sitting there waiting for somebody to knock on their door or call their line to book them.
Right.
That aren't going to get it. Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a business. And I'm fortunate enough to have had the time at my previous employment where, you know, you had to make things successful. Nobody can sit there and allow things to happen. Yes, there are some that happens to them, but it's always so few. You know, you can't strive for that. And certainly there will be times within your career where things like that will happen, but you've got to work at it. And I've even learned with social media, like, you know, you've got to be able to be telling some sort of a story where people are becoming more and more interested because that's what people are watching right now. Their time, you know, their attention span is short and they want something quick and easy, whether it's the Snapchats or the Instagram or Twitter, and you need to be on top of that. And if you're not, you quickly slip. So I'm not really afraid of 100. I'm not afraid of, you know, the fact that there are 100 different queens. What I really love about drag is that there really is no bad drag. It's bad drag is good drag, and all drag is it's your self-expression. So, you know, there's only one of each of us, and if you copy, you're never going to be 100%. So,
true.
You know, it can be saturated if you are not a business woman. You know, listen, if you are looking to get booked and your rate of during your season is XYZ dollars and you're not getting booked, well, then you need to know how to negotiate and make sure that you get out there and give them the best show that so the next time they'll have you back. So, but why should I give out all the secrets?
Because you're a giving, loving, kind person. You know,
I mean, am.
You're the opposite of me. But that's the nice part of it. And you're getting to go to Europe.
I am. Oh my God. So, I mean, like, what better dream come true for theater than to be able to play? I'm playing at the Royal Vauxhall in London, and it's like, I don't remember what year, but it's like, it's a historic site for cabarets and the building itself. And I'm there for two nights, and then I have three nights in Brighton, which is more of a, that one's called Bar Broadway, and that one's more of a sort of a, it's a cabaret, but it's more of a beach community. It's more of a the coastal area. And that's what I'm told. I haven't been there yet. But so, yeah, I mean, it's just, I said it's surreal to be talking with Paul, who's producing it over in the UK of In Bloom Entertainment. And he's like, yeah, you know, ticket sales are going well. I'm like, well, that's weird. I don't know anybody over there. Like, my husband didn't buy five. Like, you know, so, you know, normally that when you're here, it's set up that way. So it's a new experience in that respect. And so I'm glad to say that I have a couple days to get to know the pianist, you know, because I like a big pianist. So we'll spend some time together stroking the keys and making sure that, you know, I know everything. And we're good to go. So that's, what, May 19, 20, and 23 through 3rd through 25th.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, bam, 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 bam.
And how long ago were you married to a woman? I mean, it's over a decade, but.
Well, my ex-wife and I, we were high school sweethearts. This is all, you know, stuff that I talk about in my cabaret show. But we met in 88, and we were divorced in 98.
Oh, okay. So it's been a minute. Okay, so I'll ask you, the first time you threw on heels, and I'm sure it was probably a cheap wig, did you think that you would be where you are today?
God, no. You know, I remember, first of all, my dad used to dress up as a ballerina for Halloween, and I used to think that was just, why is he doing that? He just looked, I mean, talk about a man in a dress. I mean, he's a Ukrainian U.S. Marshal, like, tough guy looking. And, you know, so he would, my mother would have him dressed as a ballerina, which we were like, what is dad doing? So, but then, like, you know, Halloween or my first true drag performance was in college. I was a witch in Hansel and Gretel. And I just, you know, I glued those fingernails and wore them for 2 weeks. I was like, oh, I have to wear them. You know? And now I just found it very uncomfortable. I remember one time when I first moved to Rochester, I dressed as Glinda the Good Witch. A bunch of us went out as the Wizard of Oz, and I was at the club, and I couldn't meet a guy because, of course, I'm in drag. And I was like, get me out of here. And I, you know, I just went home, and I just hated it. And then I think it was because I kept trying to look pretty. You know, it just wasn't my thing. And I think Frank just said that he didn't really often kind of, you know, gravitate towards that. And so it was frustrating for me because physically I don't have that body. I'm not a feminine body. And so then when I saw Miss Richfield, like, oh, okay, that's a different kind of drag that I hadn't seen. Because, you know, I grew up here with Aggie Doon, Darian Lake, Pandora Box, Naomi Kane, of course, my drag mother, and, you know, Samantha Vega. Ambrosia Salad was definitely more masculine, but it was still proportioned appropriately. And so it just never really hit me until I saw her. And then I thought, oh, gosh, I can do, you know, Little Girls by Carol Burnett, and it'll make all the sense in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you did, because you're an absolute delight. And please, please, please give Tempest my regards when you see her. She's another favorite of mine who really went home too early.
She certainly did. And, you know, she and I were just texting back and forth. We're literally right before I called you. We're planning some ideas of things that we can do together because, you know, it's sort of like, well, what the hell? They think we're the old ones, which, in the grand scheme of things in drag, I guess we in drag race numbers we are, but in general we're not that old. But it's like, fine, let's play it up. And so we're thinking of a couple ideas. We'll see what pans out. But she's so talented, and I don't think there's so much more to come. I don't think we've seen the last of her. I can tell you that.
Oh no, absolutely not. Oh, have you done the Feast of Fun podcast yet with Faustos and Mark?
No, they're so fabulous. It hasn't actually panned out schedule-wise for us, but we've been talking about it, and so I hope to do that in the future. Especially just because it's the cooking, you know, and it's the housewife kind of character and all that.
They also do just their regular podcast, too. It would be a wonderful place to promote your album. Get in touch with them. They have probably the best podcast out there as far as drag. Absolutely, positively. I'm willing to say that.
Cool.
So
who's your favorite on season 8?
My favorite on season, I've got two. True tie between Kimchi and Bob for completely different reasons. Kimchi, as far as creativity and just 100% hitting it to the mark every single time, and her walk has gotten a lot better. And Bob is just such a – Bob is Lucille Ball with a tan and a penis.
That's good. I agree with both of those. And I think, you know, who's really grown on me is Thorgy.
Oh, I love Thorgy too, yes.
Yeah, she's more and more. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to meet them all. So they're really all great choices in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about RuPaul's new – basically the MGM that RuPaul has built here for all of us, were all of his showgirls. And, you know, everybody has their place, but certainly I think Bob is going to make it no matter what.
Yes.
You know, Bob is it's just, that's the only thing I would say is it's so obvious that he's a winner.
Yep.
Regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So I start to root for, like, who needs a little bit more of this exposure? And I certainly, I mean, Kim Chi is the same way. She's going to skyrocket and will continue to. I know she's got all kinds of plans for things coming out. So I think it's fun to see. Thorgy is somebody who has been auditioning for years as well. And
right.
I get excited about that, to see, you know, where she's headed. I got to see her perform a couple times live, and really fun stuff. She pulls out, like, you know, some old Carol Burnett, Gilda
mm-hmm.
Radner, and you know, she pulls those types of things out, and it's just done very well. So we'll see. You know, I'm thoroughly enjoying the season, I can tell you that.
I am too. I think it's one of the weaker seasons as far as challenges that they're presented. I'm enjoying the talent. I love Thorgy because of the varied looks, and just everything is 100% into it. When she goes for it, Derek Barry's going to do very well for himself, because he was doing very well for himself before he walked onto the set of RuPaul's Drag Race. I don't think anybody has gone home that shouldn't have gone home. I don't think anybody's gone home early. I was surprised that they brought Nasha back, and then I knew she'd be going again too. It's not that she's not talented. It's not that she's not beautiful. It's not that she doesn't do a wonderful drag. I just don't think that she's got enough experience. I don't think that she's seasoned enough for it. And my whole thing is, last season was just, they crowned the wrong person as far as I'm concerned. Grape Chapstick does nothing for me, and she hasn't really been doing that much for anybody else either in the year that she's been reigning.
Yeah, it's it. You know, I think sometimes when you walk away from it a little bit, it's had a reputation of season 7 being like, oh, dull. And then you get season 8, and it's like, okay, formula. So, you know, it is what it is. But it's got us all talking. It's got us all, you know, following other people on social media and going to their shows. So it's cooking, you know. So you know, hats off to it. And I'm excited about All Stars. I mean, that's on its way. So.
Oh, absolutely. And that I really, really like. There's some clips online of the bots over in Europe, Pandora and Katya, that are just absolutely hysterical. I mean, just dying.
Yeah.
Pandora to Hillary Clinton, and I mean, to a T, and comes out as a robot. But our time is up. But thank you so, so much for calling in. I so appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody listening has.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you. And, you know, I enjoy the weather. It's gorgeous.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be in the yard this afternoon, and I will see you tomorrow at noon.
Fabulous. I can't wait.
Oh, is Darian with you also tomorrow? Who's there tomorrow?
It's myself, Darian Lake, and Aggie Doon.
Wonderful, 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 the three of you. It's going to be great. All right, my dear, blessings, and have a fantastic day, and thanks again for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Okay, Paul, I'm going to give you like a minute break to catch your breath. I'm going to play a little clip for Rainbow Brew and then my shameless plug for Blonde Jesus. So everybody, we'll be back in just a minute. I say that, and the button doesn't go.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
Hey everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
Buy your copy today at GarrettMiller.com.
There we go. Buy your copy today. So anyway, Paul, that was great. I loved hearing both of your interviews today with Miss Viola and Mrs. Kasha Davis.
Oh, good. Oh, my God. I had so much fun. I can't believe.
What a guest we've had today.
I sounded like such a little fanboy. Oh my God.
You are a little fanboy. What are you talking about?
I really, really, truly am. I really, really, truly am. Super, super fun. Super, super fun. So let me ask you, what do you have coming up this week?
Oh my God. Give me a topic about what do I have coming up this week for the show?
Sure, if you want to talk about your shows coming up, or I gotta give my voice like another minute.
Okay, so let's give Paul's voice a break. Coming up next week on Rated G Ready, we've got a bunch of stuff happening. On Monday, we've got comic John Cooperman returning to the show. He has been known as the comic who stutters. He doesn't like to go by the stuttering comic, and quite frankly, he doesn't stutter that much. So it's one of those things that he constantly works on. But it's John Cooperman, the comic who stutters. He's back on Monday night. We usually talk about current events and just chew the fat, kind of like Paul and I do here. And on Tuesday, if you've ever wanted to create a social media brand for yourself, I think Tuesday's show is of utmost importance for you. It starts at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Jennifer Thompson with Monkey C Media, based out of San Diego, California, is going to be our VIP special guest star. I met her back in January of this year. She was a guest speaker at the SCWA, Southern California Writers Association. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. She came in, and you never know what the speaker is going to be, but they always get these great guest speakers. And Jennifer knocked it out of the park. She probably could have talked for hours and hours and hours, but she had an hour to talk about things that you want to do, things that you don't want to do when working on creating a brand for yourself. And so she's been gracious enough to find some time in her schedule to come on Tuesday's show to talk about doing that. And, you know, I've got about, 18 empty notebooks, and I'm going to be taking mad notes. It's very rare that when I go and listen to somebody speak, I actually sit and take notes because I just want to enjoy their presentation and be engaged. and I took tons of notes on Jennifer's talk. And if you are somebody who is looking to improve your social media presence or build your brand of you or your business, I think Tuesday's show is absolutely a must listen. Wednesday, we've got Rebecca Fisk. She's our intuitive psychic. She comes back for her April appearance for a 1 hour show. That is going to be taking place on Wednesday at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Here's your little secret for everybody who is a psychic surfer, and that would probably not be you if you're listening to this show. Psychic surfers are the people who call in every single month and say, can you tell me about my dead cat that's in a van down by the river? Okay, so if you would like to be a caller that is new to the show and would like to find out about a, you know, a love relationship, your job, your career, your money, or your kids, or whatever, even your dead cat in a van down by the river, call in Wednesday. The phone lines open at 6:45, so you can call in early. I tell you to call in early because legitimately we get hundreds of calls every time Rebecca's on the show. And so that's your little insider's insight to getting in and getting your call answered. Because we, you know, in the course of an hour after we do our little chit chat and talk to everybody, we probably only get to about, you know, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 callers. So if you want to call in, you've got to call in early. Thursday, we either are not doing a show. It's going to be up to Rob Watson, my co-host for Rated LGBT Radio. The reason we are or are not doing it is if Rob feels comfortable doing the show on his own. Not that he can't do it on his own, because he hosts out in Santa Cruz every Saturday night here in Santa Cruz, but he's never done a Rated LGBT Radio where he has to actually log into the studio and press the buttons and things like that. It's not hard, but it could be daunting if you don't have somebody sitting with you to walk you through it, and that could be the case. So if we have a show Thursday, we do. If we don't, we don't. It's not because we don't love you and we're not going anyplace, but here's why all of that's happening. Thursday night, I am getting some awards at the Academia Music Awards here in Los Angeles for my album Blonde Jesus. Earlier this year, it won Best Rock Electronica Album, and my music video won Best Pop Music Video for Guess What? It's Christmas Time back in January. So I don't know all the details. It's kind of fuzzy, but they've just said, you know, be here, and then this is where the limo is going to pick you and your guests up. So I've got some music industry VIPs that are going to be going with me to talk about Brand Garrett or Brand Blonde Jesus on Thursday night. So that'll be super fun. So that's why we may or may not be doing the show. It just depends upon if Rob is going to do that or not. So there we go. And then on Friday, we've got the Friday Night Dance Party with Ed Roman. He's going to be our VIP special guest star. And I'm looking forward to that. It's I've got a new... You know, I'm always looking for guests. You know, I say I'm always looking for guests like I'm starved for guests, but I'm booking, you know, August and September right now. But I've got a new publicity guy that found me and says, I'm representing all of these musical guests. Let me know if you want to have them on the show. I'm like, let's pick the dates. Let's get them on. Let's get some promo going for them. So really, April and May are months that I'm working with PR guru Mr. Michael Stover. So we've got Ed Roman coming up, we've got Kinder Jazz the week after that, we've got Madeline Victoria. That's also where we're going to do the world premiere of Mrs. Kasha Davis on May 6th. And then we've got Xander Demue, I think, is on May 13th, and you know, so on and so forth. So it's, you know, we're booking weeks and months in advance. Love everybody who's on the show, and I appreciate your patience in finding either an Outlook calendar or a he's just at a glance. I actually have a physical hard notebook that I actually carry around with me because, you know, I'm one of those guys. I usually write down a lot of questions in my notebook specific for that particular guest. It just works out easier that way for me. So, Paul, that is what's going on there. Outside of that, today at 10 o'clock, so in about, you know, our show goes for another 12 minutes, I'm going to be racing out the door at 9:30 to go see our friends at Southern California Writers Association April meeting. We've got a guest speaker that's going to talk about creating memorable characters when you're writing your next great American novel. So I'm excited for that. But I'm also going to be taking some promo pictures. They're going to be doing some advertising on the show. And if you're watching the show right now, you'll see a bunch of ads that are circulating across your computer screen. And those are folks that help, you know, keep the program kind of running a little bit. And the Southern California Writers Association is going to do that. If you want to go hang out today, again, the Meeting is at 10 o'clock here in Fountain Valley, California. It's really near Huntington Beach. It's off of Brookhurst and the 405 starting at 10 o'clock. If you are a member, the cost is $25. What does that get you? It gets you a great meal, unlimited, you know, soft drinks, coffee, that type of thing, and a fantastic guest speaker. But you're also able to network with other writers who I think are quite spectacular. We've had lots of them on the show. We've had Gail Carline, Dot Caffrey. We've had Jeff Michaels. We've got, I mean, the list goes out the door, and we're going to be having more of these special authors coming up in the days and weeks as we go, including Mr. Steve Jackson, who's the vice president of the organization. And, you know, there we go. So that's what's happening today, starting at 10 o'clock here in Southern California. If you want to come out and hang out, please do so. I'll have my camera. And so the big boy camera is going to be out taking pictures, and we'll go hang out. So that's kind of what's happening. I've got other stuff, but, you know, I don't know how exciting it is to talk about, you know, doing photo shoots with celebrities or meetings about new music videos, Paul, that I've got, or, you know, things like that. So, or, you know, like next Saturday, I'm hanging out with Hollywood director Craig Campobasso. He's coming down here to Huntington Beach. We're going to be talking about his new movie called Please Don't Eat the Pansies. You know, just little things like that. I don't know. You know, that's what's going on here, Paul.
Oh, that's fun and exciting. You're always so busy. I mean, you exhaust me.
And everybody says that. And it's like, I feel like I'm not doing enough. And, you know, because my life has kind of changed in the last, you know, year or two, where I used to only have my corporate job, and I did that 43 hours a day, 24 days a week type of a deal. Mm-hmm. And it just, that was exhausting. I love it, but it was exhausting. Now I do VIP corporate relocation referrals. And so that might be maybe, you know, one or two or three or four a month, which is great. And then I've got a couple of corporate accounts. That's great. But outside of that, I don't do a lot in the moving business anymore. And there's no complaints because I'm able to do all these other things. But if you had a full-time job, you would have a little bit of a report here, a little bit of this that you're going to do there, a little bit of all of those things. So that's kind of what I time block my day. So I spend a little bit of time writing. I spend a little bit of time on the music. I spend a little bit of time doing the radio show. So it's like having, I don't say a regular job, but it's like having a lot of different things that, you know, go into, you know, just keeping yourself busy. Because if I didn't do that, I would sit around here like a big fat blob doing absolutely nothing. And that would drive me insane. So it's always, you know, I don't want to make it sound really as sugar-coated as it is, but I'm really grateful for all of the projects that I'm involved in, because they give me different creative outlets, you know, from doing photography the other day with Mr. Michael Vaccaro out here in Huntington Beach. He's posting some of those pictures on Facebook. He's been a guest on the show of Child of the 70s, seasons 1 through 4. And, you know, so I'm able to do all these little projects along the way, and it just makes my day go by, and it's always filled with something that's fun to do. So it's never anything that's, oh my God, I've got to take pictures of somebody who is really cool to be taking pictures of, or, oh my God, I got to do a show with Paul. It's like, I get to do a show with Paul. And now I've had a cup and half a coffee, so I'm a little caffeinated.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, can you take a pill? Simmer down.
No, and you'd be surprised. It takes a long time to go insane just by sitting and being a blob. I've been a blob for the past almost 10 months, and I haven't gone insane yet.
You burnt your candle at both ends for a long time. And, you know, the type of work that you were doing requires a lot of energy. So, you know, you need to cut yourself a break and say, you know, it's, you know, you deserve a little bit of a vacation from doing all of those insane things.
That's true. I was talking to somebody this week, my therapist, and I ended up saying the hardest part of my job, honestly, was making that connection and being connected with each and every client.
Right.
On a personal basis, used to suck the energy out of me.
Even if you loved them, it still was exhausting.
Absolutely, because it's never ending. You know, I always booked myself like 15 minutes in between clients just to reset up and have a break and kind of breathe. But just that for me to connect with people, it takes a lot out of me. I'm not as I'm social behind my keyboard or behind a microphone or on the telephone. But that's about it. But I do want to apologize to Mrs. Tasha Davis and let everybody know that you can catch up with her and everything that she is doing on MrsKashaDavis.com or her Facebook page, Mrs. Kasha Davis. And I should have mentioned that while she was still here, but she'll figure it out.
Well, I mean, talk about a huge get, you know, having Mrs. Kasha Davis call in. And then Erica Urban, who is on American Horror Story.
I know. That completely flipped me out.
Well,
so
I knew it would. And it's like, I've got to bring her on now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm glad you did. And Frank was wonderful. Oh, speaking of Frank's, Frank DeCaro will be on Derek and Romaine Tuesday night for the entire broadcast.
Wow.
On Derek
it's about
and Romaine.
Time.
He just did an interview. Him and Doria did an interview with Ken Kleiber of That's Kentertainment. That's going to be posted at some time. And we will hear more about that on April 30th when we have Ken Kleiber on here. And I grill him about the interview that he did with Frank DeCaro and Doria Biddle. We've got some fun guests coming up. If you can get Erica on, please.
We'd
do.
Love to. Yeah. Well, she'll totally do it. It's just, now we just need to figure out with all of the guests that we've got booked that we just need to find a good time. Because I think one of the challenges that we have here, Paul, is that we've got, you know, typically it's an hour show. So this was an anomaly. We don't normally do a 90-minute program.
Right.
But, you know, with that hour broadcast, you and I think we've kind of agreed that we just, if we're going to do a guest, we want to have, you know, like one guest be on, because then we're not like, okay, you know, it's the turnstile next. And we're not doing that to people. So we want to be able to spend time with them and hang out a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And that's my thing. We've got Frank, and it was because in case you didn't know, and you're just listening for the first time today, we're 90 minutes today because Garrett was away last weekend and we did a replay. And so we had 2 weeks of RuPaul's Drag Race to catch up with. And Mrs. Kasha Davis, I didn't want to cut time short on that. And Garrett was lovely enough to say, sure, I'll do an extra half hour, you bitch.
There was a little bit of that. Honestly, I mean, I would sit and do this all day with you, Paul. And I don't, you know, I don't need to pay your fan club dues. I've already got my membership, you know, taken care of.
That's true.
I have such a good time when we get to hang out. So it's you know, if you wanted to say, you know, let's do 90 minutes or 2 hours, I'd be, yeah, you bet. But I know that, you know, you've got things to do. I've got things to do. So we're, you know, lucky to come together for an hour on Saturday mornings.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lot of talking. I don't know how you do all this talking like 6 days a week. It's a lot. I used to say that to Frank.
You're a good guest to tell stories. That's what you do. So it's like, okay, Paul, tell me about yourself. And then I can go fix a cup of coffee. I can run to the store. I can take a nap and I can come back. And they're still talking. And that's, you know, but it's getting good guests that are interesting and that you want to hear about. You know, if you've got to lead the guest and they're doing yes, no, yes, no, that's a horrible show.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay, what am I going to listen to this week? Derek and Romaine on DerekandRomaine.com. Alec Mappa on UBN. Tony Sweet's got somebody coming up this week, and I forget who it is, but I'm going to be tuning into that on Wednesday night. And Rated G Radio, but I listen to him in the morning with my coffee. So if you're on the East Coast, that's what I want to tell people. Garrett does Monday through Friday and then Saturday morning with me. His Monday through Friday is usually 10 o'clock Eastern time. If you're like me and you're in bed or you're watching TV or whatever, grab the archive. He's wonderful to listen to with coffee. And just, you know, throw the headphones on and listen to that. And Scott's got some fun shows coming up this week, too. That's Left of Straight Radio on Blog Talk.
Love Scott shows.
So that's what – I mean, have you found anything really new to listen to that we haven't talked about?
Well, you know, I'm kind of like that old stodgy person. Once I find something I like, I hang on with a death grip. So this weekend, Derek and Romaine 2.0, DerekandRomaine.com, they've got a free 3-day weekend. So all day today, Saturday and Sunday, you can listen at no charge and then realize what you've been missing out on. So my big plug is for that. And we've got about 10 seconds left. So I just want to send a big shout out again to Miss Viola and Mrs. Kasha Davis. And of course, Mr. Paul in Mass for being our superstar guest star host of the weekend. We're going to be back live next Saturday morning at 11 a.m. East, and we will see you then on Super Gay Radio.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.